The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two. John, you have to take a picture of this. AJ covered in a blanket.
Listen, man, I ain't that proud.
Oh, man. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor post. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, the appropriately named Jong Snow today with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. So, if you're just joining us, and you probably heard us talking about it yesterday, that there's stuff going on in the building today at 6 o'clock where they have to shut everything down. And so we don't know if we're going to be on air at 6, because, John, did I overhear right when Laura was walking out that it's still not working?
I don't know what she was referring to.
I thought she was referring to us freezing in here.
Oh, that's working.
Yeah, that's working, because they had turned the air conditioner down. So apparently we have a chance of having power at 6 o'clock. So we're freezing and AJ's covered in a blanket now.
Yeah. I got you one, by the way.
You what?
Fred, I got you
one. Yeah, I'm okay. This is working for me.
I might use that second blanket. Well, where'd that come from?
Because
that one's Laura's.
Yeah, that's okay. A pretty thin blanket you've got there, so I figure maybe you take that. Regardless.
Can we start a fire in here? Is that against code?
Probably against code. Mm. We've got enough paper though. Maybe it's time to sacrifice Bangy the Sex Bear. We just put him in the middle of the floor, set him on fire.
No, I've got a better idea. It'll just be like like in the old West, like sometimes they'd gut the bear and then walk around with
go full Revenant. That's what you do.
I'll just wear it like I'll wear his head like a hood.
Or you can cut that and go inside it.
Yeah, like he did on the horse in the Revenant. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like it. Good idea. Although, yeah, if we just set him on fire, all it's going to do is make it warm in here, and then things won't work at 6 o'clock.
True. So,
yeah. All right. I want to get to this story, and then we will get to your phone calls and everything else. But, I every now and then I like to keep up with old newspaper stuff just because, I spent 20 years doing it, so I'm still a little interested, right? I know most people don't care anymore because... they're all dying. It's their own fault. But
right.
The one thing I miss about getting an actual newspaper are the screwed up headlines. And we had our share. I think the worst one I got in trouble for was a Brenham High School baseball pitcher, something Peters, who was really good. He played at Texas. And he was out a game. And I said, put in something like, Brenham caught with Peters out. And apparently that was misconstrued as walking around with your junk hanging out, and I got in trouble for it. But this one, imagine writing a headline about Miles Jack in the Orlando Sentinel. Yeah. And see, I can't even say it, the two words together, so I can't read you the headline the way it is. What I can say is it says Jack, and I'm talking about Jacksonville linebacker Miles Jack in this instance, off to promising start. Well, okay. And it's a mistake, because if somebody was trying to be intentional with that, the little subhead just says rookie made first start and win against Colts. It would have said something like, he's shooting to do this or looking for a big finish, those kind of things. So, yeah, Miles Jack. He is indeed off to a promising start.
He is off to a promising start.
I know the quality of the problem is because they've cut so much, they don't have as many editors.
I mean, couldn't you just say Miles Jack off to a positive start? If you when you leave the Miles out of it, it just it kind of kills the whole thing.
Yeah, you,
like well, Miles Jack off to a great start doesn't sound crazy, but if you just say
Jack, yeah,
off to a great start. It sounds crazy.
It does.
I mean, you really need to leave the first name in there.
Well, but see, most headlines, you don't. You just use last names.
Yeah, but I feel like that's one where you'd make an exception.
Well, I would just use something other than off. And you don't want to say he gets off to a promising start. That's no different, really. How about this? Promising start for Jack.
Okay.
Does that not work?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. They want to hire me to consult them on their headlines.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it. Yeah.
Jack on path to greatness.
Yeah.
Because you can say Jack on all day long.
Yeah, yeah. That totally different meaning?
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing there?
Nobody gets mad when you talk about jacking on. It's when you go the other way. Hmm. Apparently, it's offensive to some, not to me.
If I were offended by that, man, my mornings would be awful boring. And evenings. And sometimes in the middle of the night. It just depends. All right. 713-780-ESP is your number. The cold's making me crazy here, I think.
You might be right. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to get pneumonia from walking outside where it's 100 degrees and back in here where it's 12 and die. And then you're going to have to put a new show in here, John. So, how about we go to Reggie? What is up, Reggie?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? Hey, I just wanted to ask this question. First of all, good show, love the show. Always listen to you guys, call in a lot. But every time we, y'all talk about Phil O'Brien, said he's not. I mean, he's a pretty good coach. But then every time we get ready to play somebody, I say we, the Texans, get ready to play somebody. We say, I mean, you guys say he's going to get out coached, you know. I mean, so I don't understand, how you weigh that. But I hang up and listen. Hey, and like I say, love the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Maybe I need to clarify better because we were just talking about the way we were doing it was if you were checking one of those old newspaper boxes, since we're apparently on a newspaper theme today, where you say coaching, and I would check Vikings. It's not that I'm saying he's out going to get out coached. I prefer Minnesota staff. And it's not just Zimmer. It's also the fact that North Turner's doing a really good job with that offense.
Right.
I prefer that staff.
Especially considering the groceries they've got in the kitchen. Yeah. They're putting out some decent meals with that.
Yeah, that they had to go. And this team was really good last year with Adrian Peterson not at 100%. Now they don't even have him. They lost their quarterback, who I think was going to have a great year, who was really about to explode and still, instead his knee did. And you basically go out and get Sam Bradford, who at times has played well in his career, but for the most part, he breaks and he's just not good. And you're getting fantastic play out of him. And that's great coaching. And so, yeah, in this case, that doesn't mean game day they're going to get out coached.
Right.
It just means if you ask me which coaching staff I'd rather have in that matchup, I'll take Zimmer and Turner. That doesn't mean it's a huge edge. And it doesn't mean O'Brien's a bad coach. I just think that's why I would have gone that way. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's try Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, sports fellas.
Sports
love
to
the
you.
Show.
Thanks.
You know, longtime listener, called in a few times. Cowboys fan, sorry. But I just wanted to get you guys' take on if you've spoken on Dak Prescott, I've missed it. So I'd just like to hear a little bit of what you think about him. But who would you be more surprised to see come out with a W this week? The Cowboys against the Bengals or the Texans against the Vikings? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I think I'd be more surprised to see the Texans come out with a win.
Yeah, I would too. I'm not so sure the Bengals aren't. We aren't starting to see the slow unraveling of the Bengals.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd be more surprised by the Texans. My dog Jack goes to work with me every day. If I get invited for beers, I learn to have to be very careful how I say I need to bring my dog home first. Well played, sir. Well played. And by saying all the texts he thought he was sending to the show were going to his mother. That's not going to end well.
No.
Probably not. Let's try Damien. What's up, Damien?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, sports is going on.
All right. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I love the show. I was just want to get your take on this, that Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott are two rookies that are playing good, and Brock seems to struggle. So I just want to know, get your take on it. Why are two rookies are outperforming Brock? And I just want to – I'll hang up and listen.
Well,
I'll say this. Dak and Wentz have been asked to do a lot less.
Yeah.
Their playbook right now is a lot smaller than Brock's playbook. Brock was basically expected to come in and play like a veteran, and they've treated him like a veteran, which, I mean, I guess when you pay a guy that much money, it's fair. But they're not treating him with the same kid gloves the Cowboys and Eagles have treated their guys with. That said, I mean, Wentz and Prescott they've accomplished what the coaches wanted them to do, and Osweiler has not. So, and if the Eagles and Cowboys were asking the same things of their guys, they'd probably be having similar struggles. The difference is they're not. So, right. A lot of it's on Osweiler. A lot of it's on this staff for maybe putting more on his plate than he was ready for, or else they assumed that he was ready for more than he really was.
Yeah, and I also think, looking at the bottom line, all three of them have had pretty good results as far as wins and losses go. And I'll tell you what, Carson Wentz has impressed me, but if you try to get into the, well, should the Texans have made that move up? No. And especially from where they are, the cost was going to be even higher. This was the gamble they should have done. We'll see if it plays out. It's been four games. I'm not ready to punt on the guy and call him a total loser. I'm not ready to say he's going to be the answer either, but I don't know that those guys are going to be the answer yet for their respective teams, because they've done a good job of protecting the football. Let's see what happens when they have some adversity, man. That's the key with young quarterbacks.
Yep. All right, guys, got to tell you about Mann Centers and Dr. Russell Williams. Over 11,000 vasectomies performed, and he's doing the no scalpel vasectomies. That's what I did. It gets my stamp of approval because, A, I was worried about it, and it didn't really hurt. It was like maybe a light discomfort at most. There's almost no pain. It lasted like 10 minutes, and they didn't have to use a scalpel or a needle. They didn't have to cut open my junk. I was worried about all that stuff. These guys know what they're doing, though. And if you're not in the market for a vasectomy, you still need to go get yourself checked out. You know, if you're like myself, a middle-aged dude, it's time to start getting yourself looked at. I mean, your general male wellness, low T, fertility evaluations, genital pain, urinary issues, testicular cancer evaluation, prostate abnormality. I heard Ben Stiller on Stern this week talking about how he had prostate cancer, which is crazy. We'll get to that later on in the show. And he's a young man. I mean, this stuff happens to everybody, and you don't want to wait till it's too late. That's what Mann Centers is doing. They're trying to make it easy for you to go in and get checked out. It's a really, really cool place. They're eliminating all the idle time, the waiting time. They're trying to get you in and out of there as quickly and painlessly as possible. They're at 9190 Katy Freeway in Houston, or you can give them a call, 832-358-8600, or check them out online at mancenters.com. It's Mann Centers, mancenters.com.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butt.
On ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. Brian asks, do you expect their aggression from these rookie quarterbacks once teams, quote, figure them out, similar to a rookie pitcher or hitter in baseball, early success, and then teams adapt and find weaknesses, or is it different in football? No, it's not different in football, especially with quarterbacks. And you see it a lot of times. Some guys you know, then we go 8, 9, 10 games looking like world beaters. And then coaches figure out that, okay, if he's going to throw to the right, he's going to do this every time, and we're going to step in front and pick it off. I think in the case of both Wentz and Prescott, they, and one of the things AJ said, they haven't asked him to do a lot because they've done a good job of getting the lead in most of these games. And the Cowboys got in a hole early Sunday, but and also just sort of taking advantage of what they can do well. I do expect that coaches will start seeing things on film that they can take advantage of. And then the key is how those guys react to that once the team reacts to you. And plus, it's easy to be a front runner as a quarterback. And when things are going well, then they're going to look great. But it's how you bounce back from the mistakes, which these guys haven't made any yet, that have hurt them anyway. So when they do, I'll be curious to see how they respond to it. And that's one thing I mentioned I like about Brock. The guy is, he's clearly had some adversity already. He's clearly made some mistakes, but it doesn't seem to be in his head. I don't think he's out there. And that's the one encouraging thing I could say I could take about his play. It's probably the only encouraging thing I see so far, but it's encouraging to me. So, let's try Miles. What's up, Miles?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
I have a question. I'm a Saints fan, and I've noticed in recent years they've missed a lot on their high-profile free agent signings like C.J. Spillers, Jarius Bird, James Laurinaitis, and they've hit on the low-profile guys like Nick Fairley, Delvin Bro, these type of guys. And I was wondering, why do you think that is? Who do you think's making these decisions? And if they have another losing season, do you think that they'll be on the hot seat? I'll hang up and listen.
I think Fairley was a pretty well-known commodity when they got him.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'd put him in that same boat. But what they have tried to do...
He's a first-round draft
pick. Yeah, and a lot of people thought he should go here instead of J.J. Watt. And at the time, it looked like he was the better player. So, but I think the real issue here is that you've got a team that you've got your franchise quarterback, you got the coach to win with, and you're going to go out and sign guys to try to win now while you have this window with Drew Brees. And they've signed the wrong guys. Very few of them have worked out.
And they've really messed up their payroll, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they are... Their salary cap problems are pretty intense. So,
yeah, I think it's $44 million in dead money they're carrying. And you can't win like that long term. And now they're going to be in a pretty tough situation because – and they had to cut some of those guys that they're still eating money on. And that's a problem. And when you add all that up, yeah, it's – that's the reason they're in the spot they're in. So I think they're going to have to – I don't want to say, you want to try to keep some semblance of something together while Drew Brees is there, but they may have to bottom out for a couple of years when he's gone and rebuild that thing from scratch. Pretty good text from 281 said everyone should calm down on Prescott. Let's not forget how Kaepernick was the greatest quarterback of all time for a while until coaches got enough film on him.
Not true. I always said that he sucks.
Yeah, you did. I'm not going to say Prescott sucks. I like him. I think he's going to be a good quarterback down the road, and right now he's playing at a very good level. So,
yeah, I don't think Prescott sucks either.
Yeah.
But I think that people who are talking about Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach in the same sentence as that dude are out of their damn
delusional
minds.
And I still think, and I know ESPN's out there giving it credence by, you know, sending out polls, should Prescott start when Tony Romo returns and that stuff. I still think that a healthy Tony Romo long term makes the Cowboys a Super Bowl contender. But my concern is, are we ever going to see healthy Tony Romo again?
I don't know.
And, yeah, John, do we still have that audio? Because I put it on there a couple days ago, and we just never got to it, from Joe Theismann.
When he missed that.
Okay. I caught him eating. So I thought it was a kind of an interesting take, even though I think Joe Theismann's a bit of a fruit bat. I do think he had kind of an interesting take on Romo. But I do wonder if he's going to be the same, because he's been hurt so much. But let's hear what Theismann had to say.
I don't think Tony should play anymore. And I told him that a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, I care about you as a person.
That was all of it.
Yeah, it was a Vine. Somebody posted on that article. Uh-huh. It was a Vine video.
Yeah. He thinks he shouldn't play anymore. He's getting up there in age. He gets hurt every time he goes on the field.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's something to consider. But if I'm him, I try to get back this year. And I try to play this year and try to stay healthy, because I still believe that, especially looking at the NFC right now, healthy Tony Romo, that team could win the NFC. Tony Romo at his best. The question will be, is that the guy you're going to get back? I don't know. Yeah, Jaworski, was it Sid Kaepernick, had the chance to be the greatest quarterback ever?
Yeah.
And 832 says there will never be a healthy Tony Romo ever. I'm not ready to make that blanket statement, but I guarantee you I'd be concerned about that. I think it's fair to wonder if he's ever going to be healthy again. Jesus, it is cold in here.
I'm telling you, my hands are numb. I need gloves.
You're going to have to double blanket here.
I think I might.
Yeah, I know people work in a lot worse stuff than this. It's just, it's kind of funny that we have to freeze so that maybe what we're planning to do will work at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't work? And then we've frozen for nothing. And we're not on air at 6 o'clock. John, this is on you, man.
I mean, the UPS should, I mean, it works when our power goes down. So I think what they're doing is they're making sure they're taking all the precautions to make sure it does come up. But of all the times in the past when our generator has gone down, the UPS does come up.
Okay. But I just thinking about some other stuff. Like, we're not going to have internet, right?
Probably not. If the power goes down, you're probably going to lose internet.
Like, did you think that once you heard this news that we should probably figure out an alternative for the 6 o'clock hour?
Yeah, but I mean, we have power to do the show,
right? But you're saying we may have power to do the show.
Oh no, as in like it's going to go out, like people are going to be able to hear it.
100%.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, maybe 98%.
Yeah, I wouldn't put 100% on anything around here. Oh, well. I'm getting a lot of, how cold is it? It's cold. I don't know what the actual temperature is, but yeah. I feel like I'm wandering around Saskatchewan when it's minus 25. That's what it feels like around here. But, well, we'll survive.
Maybe.
Yeah. So he says, I think Dak playing well gives Tony more time to get 100% before they put him back in a game. I think that's a good point. And to me, every game you win with him is a bonus.
No doubt.
And hopefully if you can wait long enough to get him back, then that's a good thing. Although some of his injuries, and it doesn't take much to break him anymore. So I don't know how long he's going to last when he does come back. He's going to have to prove it to me. Very clever. Texture says it should be 97.5%, John.
Nah.
I like what you did there. People asking about a couple games, the games tonight. I don't have any plays tonight. I don't mind the under in the NFL game. And I kind of like in the college game, I have those teams so damn close. That's the only problem. If you had to take something, maybe the 2.5 at home. But I don't really have anything tonight. I'll have some stuff tomorrow. Although, I'm going to have to, like everybody else, monitor Matthew.
Yeah.
And see how that affects things. All right. Quick break. We come back. Fantasy with Christopher Harris. If you have some questions that are general, not this guy over that guy questions, those are really answered easily with ratings. But if you have good fantasy questions, it'll apply to other people and maybe not to your team just specifically. Feel free to text them in, and we'll pass them on to Christopher. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know what that music means. Time for fantasy football expert Christopher Harris. Follow him on Twitter, at HarrisFootball. And before we get to all the fantasy stuff today, Christopher, congratulations. It's a big day for you because your new novel is out. Christopher? And we don't have him.
No, the power must be out.
Yeah, that's a... Okay, beautiful. It's not. We're not supposed to have Y2K until 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah, that's Armageddon. We're supposed to last till 6, but they may kick it in early. Who knows?
Yeah, this is... okay. So now... Maybe they're just kind of teasing us. I got a little nervous when I ran to get my hoodie. The light flickered in the elevator. I would not want to be stuck in that thing for 4 hours. All right, we'll try this again. Joining us, I was saying when we cut you off abruptly, sir, that this is a big day for you. Congratulations on the release of your new novel.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm tired.
What's this book about?
It's about a rock band. So it's about like a bunch of kids who get together and have the dream of, you know, that everybody's had at one time or another. All you need is a guitar and a song idea, and you can make $1 million. And that they kind of run into the reality of the idea that may no longer be true, that rock, indie rock even, is not really a path to riches the way it used to be. And a long journey through what it's like to be an indie rock musician these days.
Is it a fiction story or a nonfiction?
Oh, yeah, it's fiction. Yeah, it's a novel. Yep, and it's about people who are a lot younger than I am, so really it's fiction.
Is there nudity in your book?
Oh, my God, so much. It's almost, I would say, about 95% naked.
Is there male nudity in your book?
I think people who are used to adult fiction will probably be okay with the ratio of naughty things to regular not naughty things.
Fred wrote a book and it was filled with penis. I mean, like, all over the place.
Hey, you're way misrepresenting that. There was one sex scene in the entire thing. Well, two. Well, four. But that's...
Right, yeah, see?
Regardless.
It was all dude on dude.
No, it was not. There was only one of those. Regardless. Tell them how they can get the book, Christopher.
All they have to do is go to the website for the book that the publisher set up. It's waronsoundbook.com, because the name of the novel is War on Sound, and it's last 4 years of my life. It's my third novel, but it's by far the longest one, and I love the book. I love the book, but boy, am I glad I don't have to work on it anymore. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm getting it released is a great day, but the day you finish it is, you know, that was my celebration day. All right, let's get to some fantasy football talk, and as I'm sure you've kind of been a little distracted here today with this, but first question for you is you've got some of these backup quarterbacks now. You've got certainly with Arizona. Do you boost the value of defenses that are playing against backup quarterbacks?
I wouldn't say that it's like a hard and fast rule that I must have the one facing Drew Stanton or must have the one facing Paxton Lynch, if we want to assume that Trevor Siemian's not playing or whatever. I think I'm more importantly, do I think I don't think that 49ers are very good, so I don't think I'd race out to say they're the one I need to use. You know, there's probably 20 defenses I could say that I like them better. So it's probably case by case, and for me, the backup quarterback story becomes less about the defense that's facing them and more weapons like Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown and Michael Floyd. Can we, and even David Johnson, do we worry that because Drew Stanton is such a downgrade from Carson Palmer, which I think he is a downgrade, but is he a massive one? I don't know. But, that's really the question I ask more is like, what does it do to these guys who I want to start to their value? And as far as tonight's game goes, my impression of Drew Stanton in the past has been very, very conservative, very, as much as Bruce Arians is a gunslinger, as a play caller, Drew Stanton just wants to check it down. And to me, that speaks well to Larry Fitzgerald. He tends to be a pretty good check down receiver. I can't promise that this is exactly how it's going to go because nobody can really tell you how it's going to go beforehand. But if there was one receiver who I thought maybe wouldn't be affected, it would be the guy maybe who goes downfield a little bit less, and that would be Larry Fitzgerald.
Christopher on the other Christopher on Twitter asks, when should I give up on Odell Beckham Jr.? Is it time to trade him? And I think that's that kind of dovetails into another thing. This is the part of the season where you can buy low and sell high. Is that a guy, if he starts getting shopped around, you pounce on him immediately?
I would. Of course, there's no, you know, there are things that are not football related that are in play with Odell Beckham. No, anybody who really watched the Monday night game wouldn't say that was an outburst. I mean, it was a momentary shove. A referee probably, an official probably overreacted a little bit, and it wasn't anything like in week three, but it's in play. You know, it can get in the kid's head. So is it impossible that he somehow takes a total nosedive and becomes the kind of head case that gets the yips and just suddenly isn't? I guess it's possible, but I don't think it happens. I think it's way likelier that he goes to Green Bay this week and has seven catches for 200 yards and three touchdowns. I would be buying, really, if you have a supposed stud, a player that you know is really good, just hasn't performed yet, you can't sell him. Don't sell him. It's not the right, even Todd Gurley, if you're frustrated with, don't sell him, because you're not going to get enough back. Probably what you're going to do is break him in half in two so-so players, and then the person who traded for him is there. They've got a relatively risk-free investment, and if they become the player that we know they are and the situation gets better, suddenly they've got the superstar you thought you had. You're all about buying low. You're not about selling low.
Christopher Harris is our guest. What do you do with Arian Foster? We had that question for you almost every week when he was with the Texans, and now he's in, he's out, he's the same old Foster. What do you do with him?
Well, I think you probably just hang on, because when he plays, he's good. If there's a shallower league where the benches are a little shallower, and it becomes like, you know, I either don't play a tight end this week or I get rid of Arian Foster, that's okay. My supposition is that when he comes back, he'll be okay, but he won't be like a mega, mega, mega star. And the reason I think that is because he'll just get hurt again. So I'm okay hanging on to him in a 12-team league. Like, is there really something on your waiver wire that's so great that you can't hang on to the possibility of a couple good Arian Foster weeks? Probably not. But shallower leagues, he's going to be back. He's probably going to get hurt again, too. My guess is you can cobble something together that's just about as good as he will be for the rest of the year.
Do you think Gronk's numbers improve now that Brady's back? Was it just, you know, obviously the injury is one thing, but do you think he'll start being Gronk again? And obviously, if you got him, you have to start him, right? Because that's probably your top pick.
Oof. Those are two really good questions, and they actually might be two different questions. Yeah, I mean, you're not getting rid of him, so I don't know. He's going to be on your team either way. 2 weeks in a row, I've sort of smugly sat back in my non-Gronk owning chair and said, you got to start him. Look what you paid for him. How can you not start him?
Right.
And then he's done nothing 2 weeks in a row. If I'd been burned 2 weeks in a row, even though Brady wasn't there, and I came up with Hunter Henry, some decent enough solution, Kyle Rudolph, some decent enough solution that got me through, I would be okay waiting for the first good Gronk week and have it happen on my bench. Of course, you know, 120 yards and three touchdowns is on the table for Gronk anytime he's in there, and Brady's a little better than the other quarterbacks they've been playing, but I wouldn't really begrudge anybody having that decision. Now, whether this has been about Brady or injury or some punishment, or, you know, the first week I could tell myself the story, well, he just didn't play a lot of snaps. So, okay, he would just work himself back in shape. Last week he played a lot of snaps. He just didn't run a lot of pass patterns. And you guys can tell me what that's all about. He blocked a lot. And Martellus Bennett ran a bunch of pass patterns, and what I know about hamstrings is that they get tested pretty well when you're in the NFL and you're blocking somebody. So to me, that sounds less like, now maybe they just think he's a better blocker who's more familiar with Patriot blocking schemes, and with the kid at quarterback, they felt like they needed to have the sure thing in there staying in the block. Maybe that's right. Maybe he'll be out there running tons of pass patterns in week five. But this is a long way of saying, if someone wanted to wait, I would not think that they were silly.
What about Martellus Bennett? Does this help his value with Brady back as well? Does that really help all the Patriots receivers and tight ends?
It almost has to. You can't. I mean, the offense that they ran against the Texans and then against the Bills is essentially a high school offense, and you're not going to get away with that for long. The Texans got surprised, I think, on both sides of the ball, and Buffalo saw it, and then they weren't surprised. And it has to be good for everybody. Is it good enough to make Chris Hogan an every week fantasy starter, to make Danny Amendola, or to make the second tight end Martellus Bennett an every week fantasy starter? I don't think I can tell you that definitively until I see what a 4-year-old Tom Brady looks like and what the transition looks like and how healthy Gronk is. It's got to help. Does it help enough? That's a good question. Bennett has been wonderful, probably their best offensive player. Even, you know, LeGarrette Blount's been fine, but a little bit of a front runner. I think Martellus Bennett, you can make the argument, has been their best offensive player through 4 weeks. And if Gronk is not Gronk, or if Gronk is somehow a blocker now, my goodness. I mean, Bennett could be an amazing weapon with Brady, but tough for me to enter this week saying I know exactly what the plan is.
All right, that's Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert. You can follow him on Twitter, at Harris Football. Go check out his new book, War on Sound. Check out his website, harrisfootball.com. Christopher, great stuff. Congratulations on the novel, man. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go. Well, I guess I have to watch a game. I can't go to sleep, can I? Dang.
sleep's overrated. Come on, man. All right, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. That's Christopher Harris. So we'll know in 18 minutes if we have a show.
We'll know our future.
Yeah. I guess
Are the TVs going to shut off?
Yeah, the TVs are going to everything's going to shut off. We're not going to have internet.
Are we not going to have lights?
I have no idea.
Oh God. It's so crazy.
All right, do we have something that we can switch to if it turns into a complete disaster?
I can set the mood for you. I can see if we have some candles or anything.
That was kind of a bleep you. No.
No,
you guys are stuck with this, is what I'm being told.
I mean, I can go see if they have lamps or anything like that we could use.
Lamps. Are you kidding me?
Jeez. All right, quick break. It's a blitz.
On the bright side,
the Blitz. Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And after all this, after freezing for an hour and being...
It's crazy.
So now nothing's happening, John? Is that the deal? Nothing is happening?
Well, something happened. They fixed it without turning the power off.
Okay. So all this Armageddon stuff from 7 to 11 or 6 to 11 is not going to happen now?
Yeah, it was kind of like a Y2K kind of thing where everyone was flipping out and then nothing happens.
The hell? Seriously. And I'm glad. I don't want to have to mess with it.
Yeah.
But that I didn't make that up, right?
No.
Yeah, here's our update. You may notice that you did not lose power to your space during the scheduled building shutdown. Well, but that was not to be until 6 o'clock, right?
Right.
Unless they were doing this in Eastern time and not telling us. We wanted to inform you that we were fortunate in making the repairs without having to shut off the entire building. Although we were proactively informing you of a shutdown in the case that did occur. Thank you for your patience, and we apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused.
You mean like my frostbite is what they're apologizing for?
Yeah.
By inconvenience, you mean the numbing in my entire hands and feet.
Yeah.
Apology accepted, I guess. I mean, what choice do I have, right?
I hate when people do that. That's like when you go to the doctor and he says, well, it's a range of things. It might be terminal cancer. It might be a cold. Yeah, thanks, pal.
Appreciate
that. You didn't need to throw that one out there. You didn't need to say you're going to shut down the entire electricity and everything. You got people running around like knuckleheads all afternoon. Us freezing. being all nervous about what was going to happen, and that's what we get.
Yeah.
Lauren asks, is there any point of the season when Dak playing over Romo becomes a legitimate question? Well, for a lot of people, it's already a legitimate question. It's not for me yet. I think it all depends on where this team is. If he's not back 8, 9, 10 games into the season and the kid's still playing really well, I think it's a legitimate conversation.
So too, yeah.
But and it may be even a couple more weeks. But, you know, again, I think his health is going to have a lot to do with that. So somebody said we should have alcohol because that'll warm you up. Yeah,
probably that
would have been a good idea.
Would have been a good day for that.
I should have thought to bring something. Oh, man. It's kind of a letdown now. We freezed for nothing. And it was going to be sort of fun to try to do the show without any lights or anything.
No, I'd much rather just do the show like in a normal setting.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I mean, call me old fashioned.
D says, isn't this like any other threat in Houston? It's basically like the hurricane scare.
Yeah.
Remember Tropical Storm Bill?
How Bill, like that.
We were all gonna die. Our families were gonna die.
Yeah, if 20 miles to the west, they are.
Yeah, we're dead. No,
and our kids.
I don't think Tony should play anymore.
Whoops, wrong drop.
Yeah, wrong drop.
Nice try though. Good job. Good effort.
Lamont, I'm calling BS. Y'all played it up for radio and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 for screw you. LML.
No.
I may actually forward these emails to people.
I told Jong, and I know everybody around here like. When stuff like this happens, I'm the one who bitches louder than anybody. And I know everybody thinks I'm like this big diva, but I really just want like the basic needs met for a professional radio station. I don't ask really a whole lot. It's like it's pretty basic stuff that I expect, like power, you know,
yeah,
access to the internet, light. That's all.
Yeah, a TV so you can watch the Rangers. Yeah, just little things. That's all.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's being a diva, but golly, I'm not going to get started. I'm not real happy with the people in this building. I'll just tell you that in case you couldn't figure that out for yourself. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right. A man and a woman were escorted by police from a Jetstar flight on Wednesday.
Okay.
They faced flying bans and possible charges after a fight broke out between the two during an early morning flight from, well, I'm not going to say the name of the city, but it's in Thailand, to Sydney. It's Phuket. So,
okay.
Yeah. I don't think I should be trying to pronounce that. That would not
Phuket?
Go. Is that it's what
Phuket.
It is?
Yeah, it's Phuket.
With no H?
Yeah.
Okay, so the H is silent. Okay. Phuket. I can say that. In America, that PH means something else. So that's why I wasn't going to do it.
Right.
Well, guess what the fight started over? You'll never guess what the fight started over.
Drugs.
No.
Chicks.
Well, there was a man and a woman. There's a 27-year-old man and a 42-year-old woman that got in the fight. Other passengers had to break them up.
Personal space.
Getting warmer. Reclined seat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who was reclining? The woman?
It doesn't. I think the woman was reclining on the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course she was, because that's what they do. They say investigations remain ongoing, so it would not be appropriate to comment further. It remains unclear whether alcohol was a factor in the incident.
I'm sure it was. You don't get into a big throwdown fight on an airplane unless there's alcohol involved.
Yeah, because how are you going to get back to Phuket if you get yourself banned? That's not an easy trip.
No.
So let this be a lesson. We've been trying to tell you that there's very few threats in America now, bigger than, well, the evil clowns. But I'm telling you, reclining seats is up there.
You're still worried about those clowns, huh?
I am worried about those clowns. All right, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, a lot of people saying I should call Get Me to get booze.
It's probably too late now, huh?
Yeah. 832, really, you all sound like babies. Wow.
Yeah, see? There it is. Yeah. We're babies. We're babies because we want to work like in electricity in an office that has running water.
Yeah.
I know. We're such crybabies.
Such divas for wanting to have a professional show. Or at least semi-professional. Yeah. Great call on that. I bet you were first in your class in kindergarten. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.